Good evening, Jubilee. He is alive. He is alive. And what a difference that makes in our lives. It changes everything that he is alive. You can even leave behind Arsenal and Manchester City when you know that he is alive. The heart might be sore, but you know that he is alive. And so you will switch on off that TV and come to the house of the Lord. Amen. My name is Jubilee Sile. For those who don't know me, you can call me Sja. I am the daughter of this house, also the daughter of the Most High. And Jesus is the love of my life. I've never met anyone like him. And I pray tonight that if you haven't tasted his goodness, that he would meet you and that he would soften your heart towards him. It's the best thing that can ever happen to any human being, is to meet the love of their maker and change everything. Amen. In Luke 24, verse 25, it reads, "Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures." And Father God, we pray this afternoon, this evening, that you would open our minds so that we would understand your word. Father, I pray that you would pause whatever else is happening in our minds so that we can be very present with you this evening. Lord, we bring it all to you. You know our hearts. We can't hide anything from you. And we pray, won't you do a work that only you can do? Help us to be more like you. Help us to love you. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. And help us to love each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for having me this afternoon. I don't know if you had a choice, but either way, thank you for being here. It's Easter Sunday. We celebrate that our God, our King, didn't just die and that was the end of the story, but he rose from the dead and he is alive today. And we pray that this evening we would have a deeper understanding of what it means to actually serve a risen king, the one who has defeated death. Amen. I was going to have slides, but slides needed to be handed in on Thursday, guys. I need to soak from the Spirit on a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday morning. So to bring slides on a Thursday for me was impossible. So I'm going to just ask you to really engage without slides. I know teenagers say, well, if there's, you know, we need different means of engagement. So I'm going to ask you to be the slides, right? You need to be, if I'm reading from Luke 24, verse 25, I need you to say to yourself, Luke 24, verse 25. Ne? You can take a snapshot and you keep it there so that you can go back to it when you go home, right? Because when you do take snapshots, you actually go back and you read the slides that you take on screen. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Sure. How many of you here love to travel? Lots of hands. How many of you here can afford to travel? One blessed gentleman here. Can you lay your hands on us, my brother? For those of us who can't afford to travel, I'm going to take you on a trip around the Bible, which is way better than some trip to Bali, right? I mean, I'm sure. I mean, their water is the same as our water. What's the big deal? So we're going to travel around the Bible, much more exciting. And we're going to look at places where the devil thought he was going to have the last say, where he thought, aha, now I've got them. I have won. And we are going to see God changing things that surprise the devil and even the people that are involved, right? So the first story that I want us to just think of, we'll go very quickly with these stories because we want to go straight to Jesus. Adam and Eve, where it all began. Remember Adam and Eve? Remember how they were not meant to eat the fruit, but you know, it looked good and they felt like, you know what, I think God is holding out on us. Let's do it. They did it, they ate, and what was the verdict? Death, right? So the devil smiled as he saw them taking that bite and he knew that it was over because God is true to his word. So if you did eat, you will surely die. What the devil didn't know was that there was going to be a Genesis 3 verse 15 as part of the picture where God, while he's giving them the verdict for the curse for what they've done, in there he tells them that actually there will be, by the way, an offspring of a woman. Doesn't name him. We know now that that's Jesus. There's an offspring of this woman, of a woman who's gonna come and he is going to crush the head of the liar that separated us from God. Even though he will bruise the heel, okay? But that won't be the end because God always has the final end to the story. And so God was gonna do something that this one who thought he had them never saw coming. What about our friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember them? Yes. They were taken to Babylon. Somebody reads their Bible here. Taken to Babylon, and King Nebuchadnezzar built this huge statue, and he said, "You know, you worship me because you know I'm king and I'm good and I'm you know I deserve the worship." And they said, "No ways. We are not going to worship because we worship the only king of the universe." And that didn't work out well for them. What happened? They were thrown into the furnace, right? Into the fire. Bound, chained, they got there. And then what happened? Then all of a sudden, there's a fourth person in the fire. They are unbound. And they say that the fourth person looked like the son of the God. So they are unbound. They're doing the things, not unchained. And what has always surprised me with that story is, take a picture, Daniel 3 verse 27. It says, they saw that after they were taken out of the fire, right? Because obviously they were not burnt, because God of Israel was not going to let that happen. It says when they were taken out, in verse 27, they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. That always surprised me, that there was no smell of fire on them. You know, sometimes when you have been through hard stuff, like hard stuff, and people come across you, few sentences into the conversation, people can actually smell that, this person has been through stuff. You can sometimes, because of the pain that we have gone through, we can reek off the pain in the way we speak, in the way we walk, the way we smile and not smile. The places that we have been can sometimes just be so forthcoming, so visible to people. And yet these guys, when they came out of the fire, you couldn't even smell the smell of fire on them, because our God is able to do something so miraculous that even where you have been through doesn't become who you are as he writes a new story for you. And then the last place I want to take you to is those that were at camp. Remember Acts? Okay. Some people are alive. We went through the story in Acts 8 verses, well, we did the whole Acts. But tonight I just want us to be reminded of Acts 8 verses 1-8, where there had been a Stephen was stoned to death because he was prophesying Jesus, and obviously people who don't love Jesus didn't like that, and they stoned him. And we're told that from there, then there was persecution for all Christians, and then they started scattering. And what did the devil think? I got them, right? I got them, I'm gonna disperse them, I'm gonna unchain I'm gonna break the chain that they have because Jesus is keeping us together. I'm gonna break this up and it's gonna fizzle, it's gonna finish. But what we hear in verse 4 of chapter 8 is that wherever they went, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Huh? The devil didn't see that one coming. What's common about all these stories? Whenever it looked like it was over, uh-uh, it wasn't over. Because God is always writing the last chapter in our lives. What about Jesus? What about when he hung on the cross? When it looked like it was all over. And the devil, I'm sure the devil knows scriptures, right? So he has read Isaiah 53. He knew there was going to be a suffering servant who's going to be marred and scarred and despised and rejected and pierced and crushed. And he's like, I like this. I like where it's going. Huh? And then it reads in Isaiah 53, he was cut off from the land of the living. And the devil says, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Huh? Cut off from the land of the living. And then in verse 10, as the story continues, I'm pretty sure when the devil heard this, he was like, ah, yeah, I'm sure it's a typo. Let's just move on from this. So it says in verse 10, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And the devil's like, yeah. And then it continues. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, yeah, we are still on the right track, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And the devil says, okay, so who put offspring here? Because offspring means life, means new things. And prolong his days. I thought we were cutting off his days. What's happening here? Why are they prolonging the days of this suffering servant? This is not how the story is supposed to end. He's talking to the people around him. He's like, Imag, hey guys, wait. Let's go through that again. And then the people around him, they say, forget that. That doesn't even make sense. We know that it all ends with death, right? But we know, as we sit here today, that it was never meant to end with death. There was always going to be a new dawn. Resurrection was always going to be part of God's plan. It's right here in Isaiah 53, in the fine print. There was always going to be life. And look at this life. It was going to be characterized by people who have the ability to grow in the will of the Lord. Remember how we couldn't do God's will in the Garden of Eden? But all of a sudden, after it is all done, there's a people who are found in Jesus who will be able to do the will of the Lord. Can we thank him for that? For giving us back the ability to actually be who we were always called to be, children of God, made in his image. So Doug read for us one of the resurrection accounts as we started. I'm going to read for us the one in Mark, but we will tie up all three together. So there's one in Mark, there's one in Matthew and John and Luke that we'll go through tonight. I didn't include John for time purposes, but it's a similar story. And all of them just have like little bits of, they differ here and there, but they give you the same kind of gist. So can we read from Mark 16, verses 1 to 8, if you have your Bibles? Can we say Mark 16 so you can just remember? Verses 1 to 8. Hey guys, who needs slides? Hebo. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell the disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. So in this account of the resurrection, One of the problems that the women encounter is this big stone that had covered the tomb, right? And so as they go there, they're asking each other, who's going to roll away the tomb, the stone? Because we want to go in and serve our Lord. We want to go in and see Jesus. But there's a problem of this big stone. And we heard from when Doug read for us that in Matthew, it says, it tells us how the stone was rolled away. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. So how are we going to be able to reach this Jesus that we want to reach, but we just can't in our own power? The power comes from heaven above. We don't have to worry ourselves about how am I going to break through into this Jesus. The power is already available. Jesus provides the means for us to see him and then he meets us. What is it that is there for us to do then? But to just surrender our hearts because he is the one who is willing to do all the work. And then in Matthew and Luke, we get a similar story about the women with spices. They're going to the tomb. What are they expecting to see? They're expecting a dead body. And I read this and I think to myself, what did these guys hear when Jesus said, destroy this temple and after 3 days, I will raise it again? What did they think he was saying when he was like, after 3 days, this body, this temple, it's coming back to life? Did they hear him or really not? And it's not just the women, because we hear in Luke that actually even Peter. So they tell Peter that Jesus is not in the tomb. We don't know what has happened to him. And Peter runs to the tomb to go check what's happening. And it says in Luke 24, verse 12, and Peter ran to the tomb, saw the linen strips that had covered Jesus' body, but went away wondering to himself, what had happened? There's confusion. And we're saying to Peter, what do you mean, Peter, what happened? He has risen. Didn't he say he was going to rise? Did you not hear him? Sometimes Jesus speaks and, you know, people just hear, blah, 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 blah. Huh? And it's like, yeah, did you hear him say, I don't know, he's always talking about stuff. We even sometimes get clouded. We read the word of God, but we, because of our experiences, our background, things that have happened to us, we read God's word the way that makes sense to us. Sometimes we ourselves read God's word, but we interpret it in a way that suits us. And so we hear him, but we don't quite hear him. And we can see from the responses of the disciples and the women that they heard Jesus as he was speaking, but didn't quite believe what he was saying about the resurrection. And I want us to be aware of that, that we would be people who don't just listen to his word, but actually believe his word, because that's when the magic happens. When we believe that what he is saying is true. And what I found most interesting as I was reading all these accounts of Jesus' resurrection, what I found most interesting is also in Matthew 28, verse 8, where the women have now met with the angel. And then it says in verse 8, the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. That's a strange combination, right? The fear and the joy in one human being. We see it again in the verses that I mentioned with Acts. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. It says how they were persecuted. And then in verse 8, it says, and the whole city was filled with joy. And you're thinking, how is that even possible? Persecution and joy, how? But that's because our joy doesn't come from the absence of confusion and drama and suffering. Jesus is our very joy. And so the women go and they are afraid and yet filled with joy. I didn't understand that, those two combinations, until I had a girl chat with my friend Sam on Thursday. As girls chat about Jesus, we were talking about Jesus. And we got to a point where we were talking about idols. And I said to her, you know, I've always wanted to know, what is my idol? Like, I've asked my family, what's the thing that I kind of tend to, you know, in my times of need and desperation, what do I usually run off to? And we couldn't really figure it out. And I've asked my friends, and I've always thought, I don't have an idol. I love it. Guys, Jesus' sister, right here. And we talked a little bit more, and it is true that in my times of suffering and pain, the first place I do go to is Jesus. And my family agrees with that. But what Sam here helped me to understand was, actually, when I go to Jesus, I'm very happy to stay there with me, talking to Jesus, but never actually asking him to speak to me in the situation that I'm in, so that from the place where I've been with Jesus, I can then go out and make a difference in my space. So I would go to Jesus as a hiding place. I go and hide with Jesus and I say, gee, I'm here, I'm back. The people out there, yo. But me and you, yes, we are like this. And so we're going to stay here. And I would be very comfortable. I would spend an hour with the Lord. I go sit in my car and I just do the things with Jesus. And yet I would still go back in the house and not talk to the same husband that I was going to talk to Jesus about. So when I mentioned that, Sam was like, ding, ding, ding. Of disconnect there, where you can go to God, but actually, I was already thinking about the resurrection of Jesus. We connected the dots that I wasn't allowing myself to tap into the power of the resurrected Jesus. The power that allows me to go into difficult spaces after I've been empowered by the hope that this resurrection Jesus brings. By the joy that this resurrection Jesus brings. Yeah. By the love that this resurrected Jesus brings. I could never tap into that. I would go to him and just hide. He was my escape. And I thought it was way better because I wasn't escaping with chips and I wasn't escaping with whatever else that I thought was bad. But I was still missing the point of resurrection. Because in Romans 8, we hear that if indeed, the power of Jesus, the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us. Boy, oh boy, the possibilities are endless. And I was never able to tap into those possibilities because I didn't understand the power of the resurrection. And tonight, I want us to go out being empowered, not to just leave behind the things that have held us captive, but being empowered to move forward in love. Fearful, because the reason why I would keep away from human beings, I mean, I thought that my childhood didn't really taint me that much, but actually it did. Because my childhood was so painful, somehow I concluded that human beings, you know, they will hurt you at some point. So keep away from human beings a little bit, just not so, don't invest yourself so much with human beings because they will hurt you. But God, on the other hand, he's perfect, so you can cling to him. And so my childhood taught me that. And that's how I've been functioning. But with the new possibilities that the resurrection brings, boy, oh boy, I can be fearful of relationships with human beings because human beings, yes, are messy like myself. In my fear, I can still have joy of knowing that this God of mine is very able to mend the relationships when they do break. And there's something very beautiful that always comes out where there is God involved. And I want that for us tonight. I want us to say, Lord, in areas where I've kept you out because of fear, I want to go right back in and I want to ask you, won't you please again remind me that you have risen? I want us tonight to look at places where we have written a death certificate and said, this place, this area of my life is a no-go. I say, Val, it's finished. And I want us to re-invite the power of the Holy Spirit to show us what it is like to be alive in Christ. We're going to pray. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, a powerful name, name above all names. I pray that you would do something in us that no human being can do. I pray that you would free us from all the lies that the devil has whispered to us all our lives, areas where we thought nothing could ever happen. Father, we re-invite you, fearful, to re-enter in those areas, but filled with joy of knowing that you are in it. You are with us and you are absolutely able to bring life again in dead situations. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your compassion for us as human beings. May you help us to be more and more like you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.